Hi everyone, Samian here. I'll share the video in just a moment. But first, a quick word from today's sponsor, The Family Law Project. It's similar to RateMDs.com, and if you've been to a corrupt family court or woke school, you can now report terrible judges, teachers, caseworkers, and therapists on The Family Law Accountability Project. It helps you figure out which lawyers and educational institutions to avoid too. And by leaving a review, you help others having their academic or financial life wrecked by wokesters. What are you waiting for? Sponsor link is down below. And now on with the show.
What's up, everybody? Michael Santinato here. Welcome to How to Become Financially Indestructible. And first off, thank you so much to everyone who's subscribing and liking and commenting and watching. You guys are blowing my mind right now with how quickly this channel is growing, and I'm just so thankful for already 400 subscribers. This is amazing. So we've got the one and only Sandman with us here today again, and this is going to be a great, really cool topic and conversation that comes directly from Sandman and his wisdom and knowledge and experience in the film and entertainment industry. So Sandman, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
I'm doing good. As you can tell, I'm really excited.
Awesome. So yeah, I was gonna mention Sora, which is from OpenAI, which is a new piece of software and service that the company's created, but they haven't released it yet to everyone. It's just being tested by creative types, animators, filmmakers. And what's really interesting is it's gotten some people in Hollywood so freaked out, like guys like Tyler Perry, that he has a production company in Atlanta, and what he was planning on doing was expanding his studio with another six or eight sound stages. But now he saw Sora and he immediately canceled all of that work, all those sound stages, all of the extra staff that he would be hiring, all gone. And I mean, I had the privilege a few years ago of actually interviewing him. And he was a nice guy. Yeah. So that was, it was pretty interesting. So, and
is that a video on your channel?
No, I'll show it to you. I don't want people to kind of know where that video is. Shh. Right. Like that's just a different thing. So anyway, he was very humble and extremely intelligent guy. So like, I'm glad that he kind of figured that out. So
that's very wise.
So Sora is basically going to allow you to type in, say, I want Fred, my actor, to go walk down the street. And you will actually be able to have Fred walk down the street just by telling the software to create that. And you'll tell it, I want it to be dark at night. I want there to be, you know, neon lights to the left. And all of these details you will share with Sora, and it will create the entire environment for that character. There's a production company in Toronto. They actually created this yellow balloon man, and all they have is this balloon headed man doing all of these crazy things. Like he's going in an area where there's like, I can't remember. It was like cactuses. And he's like hoping that his head doesn't get pricked by the cactuses, so it doesn't pop his balloon head. So
that's funny.
Yeah. But the whole short film was created with the same character, the balloon man, in every single, like, in all his shots going forward. So now just imagine how many jobs are going to be lost because of this technology. So camera people, you don't need them. Actors, you don't need them. Or you could hire like relatively few actors, and you could hire one actor and then create a virtual template so you can put other faces on that. So you could be acting, writing, directing. You could be the actor as all of your characters in your own film simply by mapping out your face and then acting differently depending on which character it was. Makeup artists gone, drone operators gone, costumographers, graphic artists, set designers, everybody gone. And so
grip guys, lighting guys, the guy holding the mic, there's a whole job just of the guy who holds the mic up.
So everything,
you're probably talking about a lot of post-production jobs are going to be removed as well, right? Because you and your laptop are going to be the audio engineer, the audio editor, the video editor, the sound editor, different jobs.
But all of those jobs are going to be done by AI. So all you're doing is you're prompting the AI to basically take your script and make your vision reality. So I've been sitting on a couple scripts for like years now. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to make these because it's just impossible. And now I'm looking forward to making them. And I have no excuse like why I shouldn't in probably 5 years. So I got a film about Nikola Tesla, a film about Amelia Earhart, a Wizard of Oz film, and a film about the lost city of Atlantis. And now I can make all of that with AI the way I visualize it in my head. And I can put it on YouTube or some other platform. And then I can collect all the ad revenue from that. And no one's going off to Hollywood to watch something because they're going to find my stuff more entertaining. That's pretty much what it's done.
That's right. That's right. And you already have a, you know, fan base with Sandman, right? And you're just gonna tell everyone, hey guys, I just made my first full feature length film or short film or whatever. And for you, it's not your first. I know you've been in the industry for a while. And then because you have this following and you have the attention, it'll be easier for you to just kind of leverage and translate the audience into watching and checking out your content, which they're going to be interested anyway, because they're going to want to know, is it financial? Is it Manosphere? Is it, you know, Sandman? Maybe they'll get to see the face of Sandman finally for the first time, and they'll wonder, you know, what does Sandman really look like? And it's not you, it's your AI version of you. It's this 8 foot tall black man or something like that.
No, I it's crazy, right? Like, but what I think this kind of people are like, all these people with these jobs that are going to be lost are angry. They're going to be, you know, you got executives, producers, they just sit around smoking cigars and deciding, you know, like you're never going to get another Weinstein again, like molesting people, right? Of the narcissists are going to be thrown out on the streets with their cigars. And the people that are going to benefit the most are those that have been like disrespected the most. And those people are the script writers and the screenwriters and the people who imagine the stories. Because the most important thing before you produce anything is the story. So years ago, I was interviewing a guy who wrote the book that like the Braveheart, The Patriot. Remember the film The Patriot with Mel Gibson?
That ridiculous one with Mel Gibson, yeah.
Yeah, so he wrote the story, and then Mel Gibson thought it was interesting enough to bring in to make a film about it. And Mel Gibson changed a lot of the stuff in the film, but he also brought him in to help him write the script, but he never got a credit for writing the script. And so what happens is a huge portion of films that are in Hollywood, you never hear about who actually wrote the script. They always slap the person who, like, you know, the executive, whoever wrote the script, is like, it's like a personal favor. So the people who actually create a lot of our entertainment, we never hear about, because they're just...
But what does that mean about all the credits that you do see for screenplay by so-and-so, written by so-and-so?
It's politics more than anything else.
So you're saying the original, you're saying behind the scenes in the industry, the original actual writers of the scripts don't get credited, they get given to someone else?
Well, they get paid, but they don't get the credit, right? So they'll write the script and they'll be like, here's $200,000 for writing the script, but your name's not on the script, on the movie. We're going to put Steve over here, my buddy. He's the actual guy who wrote the script. And
so it's an under the table deal to keep the true creators kind of hidden, but they still get paid. They just don't get the awareness and the credit for it.
Yeah. Like, and just imagine how this works in the music business too, right? Like, you probably get like, how do you know that a song is written by Michael Jackson? Maybe he had somebody come in and help him write it. I mean, if I was in the music industry, I'd be like hiring the best script, the best music writers, and I'd be giving them credit, because at the end of the day, 99% of people don't go through the credits to see who wrote something. They just want to enjoy the song.
Right. But you know what's whacked is I do. Like, I'm one of those, I'm kind of a film and music kind of historian nerd in that way. Maybe I should have a channel about that. But it's just kind of my hobby. It's just kind of like a fun thing. Like, I'll go watch a movie in the theaters, or I'll go, you know, see a documentary or something like that on Netflix. And I'll spend an hour researching the shit out of the rest of that film and who it was about and how it came to be. And I always look at, I used to love the website, thenumbers.com, which is the budget and the results of the box office and how much money a film made. Because if a film doesn't make like 2x or 3x, it's considered a flop or a failure.
Yeah.
which is really funny. And Wikipedia never used to publish that info. It used to be this niche site called thenumbers.com. Now Wikipedia does it. But I do enjoy writing and realizing who wrote, these scripts and things. And I know for a fact what you're saying about the music industry is 100% true. Many, 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 many popular artists that we know today do not write their own music. When I was younger, I was into emo bands. That was kind of the thing at my time when I was younger, 20 years ago. And Good Charlotte was the band with those twins. And in their last album, they didn't even write two songs out of like a 12 song, album. So there are people that have entire careers that just write music. They write the chords, they write the whole keynotes and everything, and they put the music on the charts, and then these popular stars, quote, they perform them.
Yeah,
And that's everybody from Britney Spears to, Christina Aguilera to any band and every band.
and it's not just Sora revolutionizing the film industry. We're actually seeing something called Suno AI, which version 3.0 that just came out recently, and it writes music with like the singers, the instrumentals, and right now it's at the level between amateurs and professionals. So and that's all happened in the last 6 months or so. So wait until another 6 months go by and it's writing music at the professional level. So you could write the song and you can say, well, I don't like those lyrics. Can you make me better lyrics? And it'll create better lyrics. And it or like,
Wow.
I don't like that specific bass line. Can you do a different bass line? And within, it'll immediately create something completely brand new. And
This is
so what's
radical.
that?
This
So
go.
composers for films, gone, right? Like, why would you have a composer when you can get software that it's not just that it writes something that's good or passable for like a low-key production. It writes stuff that you remember that has a catchy beat it feels like it almost has a soul to it. And that to me was where it really like
Wow.
it passed this uncanny valley when it comes to music.
Man, that you just said that you thought that it had a soul in it is like mind blowing because that's one thing, that's one common argument I think people have that is fairly legitimate about today's use of AI is that you can tell when it doesn't have a soul or a heart behind it. I was working for a company and doing some contract work. And the CEO would always turn to ChatGPT all the time. And I could tell when an email went out, whenever a letter went out, whenever something came from him, I could smell it. I could like see it and feel it. Like this is just a machine doing this. He didn't give it any heart or any soul. And so I think that's a legitimate thing right now that is coming out of the whole ChatGPT craze. But if you're saying you've seen something that
I can
has a soul
feel it.
attached
I
to
can
it,
feel the like it's like when you hear that hit song and it just resonates and you're like, there's something about this song. Even the musician doesn't understand why that hit song is a hit song. Like there have been songs where the musician would write it and then throw it in the trash and be like, this is garbage. And then
Dude,
somebody
an entire album, Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen's ultra classic, Born to Run. He literally threw it in the trash. And what's his name? The guitarist, I think it's Steve Van Zandt, I think the guy with the bandana. He, forgive me if I get that name wrong. And he had to pull it out of the trash and he said, no, listen. This is something you need to have faith in this, and you need to put this out. We need to put this out. Friggin' Bruce Springsteen's best album.
Yeah, so though no, like there's like this is what happens. People just create amazing things and they think because they're creating on such a high level that the things that they think are going to be the best are like they're almost too forced. Whereas the stuff that ends up becoming the best is the stuff that comes off naturally in one take or just in one recording and they don't think too
Trust your
much about
gut.
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Because
trust your gut. Just go with it. Like, I'm a huge fan of Radiohead, and you could almost classify all of Radiohead's catalog as that. Like, it's raw, it's ugly, it doesn't even make sense, it's weird, it's quirky. Kid A is the best example of that, and that's one of the best examples of an album in the last like 50 years.
you know what's really interesting? I just watched this film today. It was called Electric Dreams, and it's from 1984. Have you ever heard of it?
I think I've heard of this. Yeah, say more. Talk more about this.
Okay, so it's about this guy. He's living in San Francisco, and he buys a computer, to help him organize his life. And he accidentally spills some champagne on the keyboard, and the computer, the AI comes to life. And now the computer, we're talking 1984 here, right? So we're not talking about recent film, right? Like, and you know what's really weird? I've never heard of this film before. I've watched every science fiction movie I could get my hands on from like the 80s and 90s. And then there was another film like only a few months ago that I discovered with Tom Selleck, where he's a cop, but he's a cop that deals with technological crimes. So people will program robots to kill people, and Tom Selleck will go and fight the robots. Like somebody's house gets invaded, and like the kitchen robot goes crazy, and steals like a weapon and goes around and tries to take out all the people in the house. And he goes in and he like attacks the robot in the house. And this is the Tom.
That's amazing. This like that's like Blade Runner and like three other movies that come to mind for me, like Matrix and Minority Report,
But this is the thing, like, I've never heard of these films before until, like, recently. It's like these films are so ahead of their time that we didn't know until, like, we're dealing with the issues that those films presented 40 years ago.
It's incredible. That's why I love sci-fi so much. I can't get my hands on enough sci-fi, to be honest, because I really feel like they're predicting the future, and they're just out there on the edge, the leading edge, and they're showing us what is to come. I love Scanner Darkly. I love Altered Carbon, The Matrix without a doubt, best movie probably of all time in my lifetime. And so many more are just so much fun to watch because I feel like we're getting a peek into the future. Both Blade Runners.
Have you watched The Expanse?
No, I have not. The Expanse? No, I just saved The Electric Dreams, by the way.
Okay, Electric Dreams is it's kind of interesting. But you see, The Expanse is a TV show. It was filmed and produced in Toronto. And it's about three factions. So humans have now developed advanced space travel. And there's Earth and the Moon, which are the UN. There's Mars, which has its own colony. And then there's the outer belt, where all the miners who mine all of the raw materials to send back to Earth. Yeah. And so they go to war with each other. And then there's like an alien influence as well, too. So it's interesting to kind of watch because it's done from like a realistic standpoint. Like if humans use the solar system, we couldn't expand beyond the solar system. All we had was the solar system, how our political divisions and our, you know, worlds would kind of collide in that way. Right. So
this has a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, The Expanse.
Oh, it's fantastic. The first season's a little bit 95%. The first season's a little bit sketchy, but like once you get past some of the parts I didn't really like very much, it's incredible. Like the space battles, they have ships that like they spin around, so you get like zero gravity, and they were like magnetic boots, so they walk around on their ships like they're affected by like low gravity environments and stuff like that. So anyway, but what's happened is like they stopped at season 5, and what's going to happen now, you're going to start to see fan fiction writers that create sequels to shows that were ended too soon, or like films that never got produced, and they're going to start making stuff like, you know, like there was that show Firefly that came out 25 years ago now. They only made like the first half the first season, and then they stopped because they messed up. But like think of people watching things like Game of Thrones and the disaster that was the last season of Game of Thrones, how bad it was.
Yeah.
And then remaking their own version without the permission of Hollywood and without the permission of HBO, putting it out there and having everyone absolutely lose their mind saying, well, this is the best ending you could have possibly given this. So
yeah, like this is how it should have ended. Like when you see a trailer for like John Wick 7 come out and you're like, what the heck? And you're like, I didn't know they're making a John Wick 7. And then you realize it's a fan-made thing, right? But I'm really thinking that this is going to be brilliant. And somebody should start an entire network of just fan-made, you know, fan-made things, like how The Sopranos should have ended on the last episode, how Game of Thrones should have ended in the last 6th season. This is going to be epic.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're not just going to have one version of how it should have ended. You're going to have like 50 or 100 or 1,000 versions all competing and giving you a different like idea of what could have happened. And then people are going to gravitate towards the ones that have the greatest emotional impact. They're going to say this one feels like the most conclusive and, you know, like gives me the most closure and makes me feel like either good or bad, or the emotion has the greatest emotional impact.
So to the members listening out there, who wants to start this new network or new, you know, YouTube channel segment of the market where people are remaking their own fan desired, you know, projects and voting on the best of them and growing this kind of fan based fiction that's still true to the source material, which is really cool.
Well, what's going to be even more interesting is, like, first thing that's going to happen is going to be the same thing that happened back when people started sharing MP3 files. So
yes,
you're going to see the lawyers and the studios with their intellectual property lawyers coming out trying to put a stop to it. But then what people will do is, you know, you won't be able to put it on YouTube because they'll have to work out some sort of agreement, revenue share or something. But until they do that, people will still put it out. They won't care. So what they'll do is they'll start putting it out on things like torrents, where you can download it without having to pay and without having any permission. Permissionless sharing. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's a brilliant point. And you also just can create, because it's YouTube, you can create an anonymous account or whatever. And then your name's not.
YouTube. I'm talking about you just sharing it out on like torrents, like the pirate Sail the High Seas. So people can just go and get a download it and find it, and it'll just spread through word of mouth. People will say, oh, you got to check this out. And they'll just download it and watch it. And there's no stopping it. Like right now, I used to get occasional notices from my ISP saying, hey, we've got a notice from AOL, like whatever company, they're saying that you're downloading their files without permission, but we're protecting you. Don't respond to their copyright, blah, blah, blah claim, because then they could go after you. So I was like, no, I don't even want to deal with this. So what I did was I got a VPN and I haven't gotten a notice since. So there's no way to trace it.
VPNs, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
I use PIA. I used to use NordVPN. I'm sure if you've seen a YouTube video anywhere, you got an endorsement from NordVPN. They're huge, but
yeah,
I like PIA. God bless VPNs. Thank goodness.
So
that's still cool of your product provider, your ISP provider, to actually defend you like that.
They have to. It's the law, right? Because nobody would have used their service if they didn't defend them. Because some ISP would have said, you know what, we're not going to give that information away. And so if one of them said that, then the other ones couldn't either. And they know that the moment they start saying, no, we're just going to pass the information on, people are going to go someplace else. So,
But the
last thing is, so just imagine how bad the Star Wars sequel trilogy has been. So, and everyone remembers, like anyone who's like a hardcore Star Wars fan remembers the trilogy written by Timothy Zahn back in the early 90s. And he wrote a trilogy of books that were actually pretty good, and people were thinking, hey, like, why don't we make that? So imagine, you know, in 5 or 10 years, somebody going and making the Timothy Zahn Star Wars sequel series.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen as well. So
that's amazing.
So again, I think the writers are going to rule in the new digital Hollywood. And the wokesters are going to lose, and all of the like the corrupt executives are going to lose. But go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Finish. Yeah, and obviously the people who are just regular worker, everyday kind of people. So they're going to have to figure something else out, because their creativity is going to be worthless.
For sure, and you know, attitude says a lot, right? Like, I mean, sales, I'm in business. Your attitude counts for everything. So your attitude is ultimately what's going to determine your altitude, which is what they say. That's not for me. That's someone else. What I want to remind everyone listening is we have another video on when the AI will take all the jobs. Like, we've had that great video. We had that great conversation about when AI specifically will take over the jobs. So check out the channel. Check out that video. I want to share that when I first got my hands on ChatGPT, I spent like, you know, 2 days like everybody else, and I got lost. One thing I said I would do is I would just start writing fiction books, and I would just come up with, like, you know, cool fiction book concepts and just publish them on Amazon. And I went to ChatGPT. I think I woke up one night, I had an idea for like a cool Egyptian history romance novel assassin with a book with a whole comic book theme and everything. and love story and all that stuff. And I didn't take it that far for a few reasons, because that's just not my zone of genius. Like, we're going to do a video on your unique path to wealth. I believe everyone has their own unique path to wealth, and there are like eight different character types and personality types. So that's not mine, but it's amazing because you could literally probably have, AI writing scripts and books and songs like Suno, and using that AI tool to make your own audio and video to get your own content and your own little spinning passive income stream out there, which is amazing.
Well, look, we're going to talk about this in a future video, but the idea of AI creating all this content has a like downside. And the downside is you're going to go on YouTube and all it's going to be is AI created content, because that's the stuff people can create the fastest and in the largest quantities. And anything that requires sitting down, recording, and being thoughtful, you're going to get like overwhelmed by people creating just garbage content. And we can talk about good quality content. But when everyone has their own movie studio, you know there's going to be a lot of B movies out there. It's going to be like B movie heaven.
Right. So you'll need a good skill in filtering out the crap from the good, is what you're saying.
Well, like it'll just be like YouTube's metrics, so like watch time. So somebody sits
Right.
down and it's an hour and a half long film, and 99% of people leave after 3 minutes. Well, guess what? That's algorithmically going to get demoted to the bottom. But if
Yeah.
somebody sits and the average watch time is 20 or 30 or 40 minutes or an hour, then that's going to
Okay.
get pushed in the recommendation feed. So,
Perfect. So the algorithm will know based on, how it's being received, whether or not it should promote it or not.
yeah, exactly. So.
Perfect. That's just like any, I like to refer to comedy a lot. So Seinfeld says the laugh is the ultimate vote. If a joke gets a laugh, then it's working, it's going to work.
Yeah, like people will come back. Anyway, I think we're
So
done with this one. Go ahead.
last point, what about the unions? These tools are going to destroy Hollywood. What the heck is going to happen to the unions in
What
Hollywood?
happened to the Nortel Union after they went bankrupt? They didn't exist anymore, did they?
That's
So.
right. But the Technology Workers Union may have continued, or the Screen Actors Guild, and all these different unions that they secured their jobs in place, right? So
Yeah,
you're
but
saying,
the unions function through union dues. And if they lose the union dues because nobody's getting hired, then the union is broke. How are they supposed to fight for anything?
okay, gotcha. All right. So just give it time and it'll dissipate on
Yeah,
its own.
they'll end up at the bottom of some stadium like Jimmy Hoffa, cemented in the bottom there.
Okay, so for everybody watching, how you can capitalize on this is, one, test it, right? Use it for yourself. Start making, if you like, start making content using these tools, right? Number two, I think if it's your personality type, then you'll be able to really capitalize on this, because your natural tendencies will be to create and experiment and test. And what else? Number three, I guess people that are automatically already, content creators who are enjoying this, use those tools and integrate it like Sandman. Tell us, how are you going to integrate it into your current work, or will you?
Well, I'm just going to make more, like, for example, if I'm making a travel video, what I'll do is I will get, I'll go online, find thousands of pictures of a specific place, and then it'll map and create the entire place. And then all I have to do is tell the software, okay, I have all these locations, I have all the shots from different angles. Now I want you to create, a pan shot or, like tilt left or tilt up, tilt down. Pan left, pan right, like whatever you want, the
Wow.
motion on the street, it'll create that for you. And then you can talk about it, and I can have a voice narrating like, oh, this town was built in 1872, and today it's got blah blah blah, these cars over here, and like you can tell to do create the setting that already exists. So then nobody has to even leave their computer to make a travel video. And then you could be like, okay, I'm going to create an avatar, and the avatar is going to walk around in the town and talk, and I want the avatar to say these things, or I want the
Nice.
avatar to talk about interesting things in the town, and I don't care what, just talk, and the avatar will automatically talk based on you just asking the computer to go on the internet, find all of the information about that individual town, input it into the system, and then create the avatar, and the avatar is going to say all of the things about that place in a natural way. So you won't have to do anything.
That's amazing. So what I actually got from what you said is that we still need to have a background of knowledge on, and the more knowledge you have on the matter and how to use the tool, the better off you'll be. I never would have thought of a pan shot, a tilt shot, you know, tilt left up there. That's your mastery. That's your domain, because you come from that world, right? With film and entertainment. So having that background and that knowledge, this tool will just make you better and make your job easier because you have that background.
But I don't have to, because I already have the experience to know what to ask it, right?
Exactly.
But the problem is a lot of people are just going to be like, make it look cinematic, and it will use it'll dolly left, and it'll basically, you know, pretend to put a crane or a drone shot. I want a drone shot above this town, and it'll just do it, right?
Dude, that's amazing. But that you have the knowledge to think of a drone shot, that would be a good shot in that part, is that's your brilliance. That's your unique knowledge.
Well, it's like, I don't think that's, everyone's going to do that because everyone is going to ask it to create something cinematic. It's just going to be, everyone's going to want to make something look like a movie. So,
oh, right. Like in how Grand Theft Auto, if you turn on cinematic mode, it does all these crazy shots automatically with this algorithm of, like,
yeah,
you know, this gives you a helicopter shot here. It gives you a wheel shot here, you know, while you're driving the car.
So you're watching a film, but yeah. But the thing is, you're gonna see more of these things just happen naturally. More people are gonna choose these things, and everyone's gonna get sick and tired of them. So what you're gonna have to do is you're gonna have to come up with new ways of seeing the world. So, like, instead of filming, you know, a blender, you put a banana in a blender, and it, like, what if you actually, the camera is the banana? You put the banana, and it's, you know, the camera shot is the banana. The banana gets put in the blender, which is the camera, and then the camera is like spinning around in the blender as a banana, right? And you're seeing the particles flying in front, because you couldn't have done that before. So you can start putting the camera in places where you couldn't get it in before. So, like, say somebody throws something into the toilet and flushes it. Well, the camera is now flushing with the toilet, and the camera is getting sucked down the toilet and traveling through the sewer. And then you pass the alligator and the Ninja Turtles, and then you're out to sea with the other turds, and you're just like floating away, right?
Dude, you just created a brilliant idea for a short film.
Well, there you go, right? Like the great turd adventure, right? What?
From the lens of the banana.
Yeah, no, but you have to start thinking about it from that perspective, right? Like you have to think the camera can now be smaller and get into places where it never could have before.
That's so cool, man. I love this concept. I'm so excited to see this unfold.